It's time for Ireland's only interactive podcast, the multi-award-winning Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy.
You're very welcome to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy, recorded live at our studio at the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock in North County Dublin. Now, before I let you know what we want to talk about on this latest episode of Opinions Matter, I want to give a big, huge shout out to our current show sponsors, and they are Fairy House Sunday Market, one of the most popular markets in the entire country. Now, Fairy House Sunday Market, as you will probably know, because you've probably been there at some stage, is at Fairy House Racecourse near Rathoath in County Meath. It was established over 30 years ago and continues to this day to be as popular as ever. And the reason for that is Fairy House Sunday Market has everything you can think of. Fishing tackle, a whole stall just selling fishing tackle, toys and gifts, hand tools, power tools, mats, bed linen, clothing, shoes, jewellery, sportswear. The range is just incredible. And they also have a car boot sales section where you can either bring your car along, you have to register beforehand, and sell stuff out of the boot of your car, or go around all of the people selling stuff out of the boot of their car. And it's a great day out, actually, for the whole family. So recently I went to Fairy House Sunday Market and I met a number of the stall holders, including Liam, who explains it's the people who have kept him running his stall at Fairy House Sunday Market for the last 24 years.
A bit of crack. If I want to go, I'm here on my own. If I want to go to the toilet, I'll say to them, hang on there, keep an eye on them. Keep an eye on them, I have you the whole lot. The same people come back all the time saying, look, you get to know them. You might meet them in the pub, you meet them in here, and you get to know them, what have you. So basically, it's all about the people, really. It's not about, in all honesty, it's not about the money. Well, I sell the safety boots, and I sell all the shampoo, shower gels, and wellies in here. Anything I can get my hands on. You know what I mean? Make a few, Bob.
All right, and that was Liam. Pop along to his stall or all of the stalls at Fairy House Sunday Market every Sunday from early morning until mid-afternoon, and tell them that the lads from Opinions Matter told you to pop along. So what do we want to talk about on this latest episode of Opinions Matter? Mario has been in touch with us, and this is what Mario wrote to say, and I want to get your opinion on this. This is something you should really cover on your podcast. I think the government should pay money to drug addicts to get the snip or their tubes tied so that they can't have any children. My stepsister is a disaster. We don't really talk to her, but she's strung out on heroin for the last 5 years and she just got pregnant. And there's no way she is going to be able to bring up a baby. The family doesn't know what to do. Her fella is also on gear. It's an absolute disaster. And it's not fair on this poor baby who didn't ask to be brought into this situation. So why can't addicts be offered money to be sterilized? I'm not saying force them, but no addict should be able to reproduce. It is so wrong. Please debate this. And that is from a guy who signed his name Mario. Yeah, well, what do you make of that?
The amount of people that are upset about us even discussing this. I don't get why people don't think we should be able to discuss it. There's no topic that should be off limits. Like, whatever you want to discuss. This, you know, Mario brought this to our attention and we're debating it today, whether you like it or not. If you don't want to hear it, just don't listen to it. I don't know why. What's upsetting that he's saying?
It's just, it sounds so Nazi-ish.
Okay,
it sounds Hitler wanted to do.
No, Hitler didn't want to do that. Hitler,
yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
He sterilised disabled people.
This isn't... junkies aren't disabled people. What are you talking about?
Well, some people would argue that they are.
A lot of people must have misheard Mario's point when we first read it out, because people are messaging, go mad, saying exactly what Adrian's saying, forced sterilisation is morally wrong. There's no point in Mario's story where he said they should be forced to be sterilised. That's not what he said. What he said is, as an incentive, they are given money. I think this is a no-brainer. Everybody is a winner here. Mario's sister, stepsister, is a strung-out heroin addict. Yeah, I feel sorry for her. It's a terrible path that she went down. It's horrible. But my only concern would not be the drug addict in this case, it would be the child who didn't ask to be brought in to that situation. There is no way that someone who is strung out on heroin, a junkie that is strung out on heroin, can possibly raise a child and give that child a good start in life. Do we all agree on that? Do we all agree on that?
Not necessarily.
No, what you think? Do you think we're going to get one person on this podcast today who says...
A drug addict can make a good, parent.
Oh yeah, junkie parents are the best. Hey, we should all be junkie parents. Junkie parents give their children a great life. They don't. How can you possibly be a good parent if you're strung out on heroin? You can't.
Okay, so, but this notion of paying a drug addict, because all you're doing, by the way, by paying them to get their tubes tied, is just giving them more money for more drugs. You're encouraging their drug habit, actually, by offering them money.
No, should they get money from the social welfare anyway? You just throw it in with the social welfare payment.
So you would like to see a drug addict getting money to go into hospital either have the snip or to have their tubes tied?
No, what I'm saying is, and I'm putting the challenge out there, someone change my mind and tell me why this is a bad idea. Okay, if anybody, you have, let's start the clock now. You've 45 minutes starting from now to tell me why it's a bad idea. Okay?
Why it's a bad idea.
So I've told you why it's a good idea.
Okay, but there's one thing that I think is bad is the whole notion of giving money to a drug addict to go and spend money on more drugs.
No, so they get money anyway. So that's an invalid point. Think again. They get their social welfare anyway. So they will spend it on drugs. They will get the money somewhere. And if they don't get the money for drugs...
And okay, if you were to pay a drug addict to have this surgery, because you're talking about surgery here, getting their tubes tied or getting the snip or whatever...
I got the snip done in 20 minutes. It's not open heart surgery.
Okay, but
20 minutes.
The question is, how much?
It's morally wrong.
How much do you pay them?
It's morally...
Are you talking about 1,000, 5,000?
I haven't put a price on it.
100 quid?
All I would say is it's morally wrong, morally wrong... for someone who is addicted to heroin to be bringing a child into this world. Now, again, 43 minutes. If you can come up with I'm just looking for one reason why this is a bad idea. Okay? It's over to you guys. Why is it a bad idea? Adrian's argument was pathetic.
Well, no, I want to know how much money you're talking about. This is actually quite important. You're saying pay them to be sterilised. I want to know how much money they should be paid for that. You don't have an answer.
€1,000, there you go.
€1,000, okay, €1,000 to get your tubes tied. 085-825-2626.
That's just off the top of my head, by the way. I just threw that out.
Okay, let's kick off with Emma.
Hi, lads, just regarding your topic today, 100% make them all not be able to have children. I just don't fucking understand it. You go up to the DSPCA and they interview you, they come to your house, you have to pass this, that and the other, and there's fucking junkies on the side of the street sticking needles into them and are pregnant. No. So if you're not going to do that where they can't get pregnant, then something needs to happen. Like, obviously, it's obvious when they're giving birth that they're on drugs or whatever. Most of these children are born addicts. So home inspections should be done. Follow-up should be done. If they're still on drugs, if they're not caring for the child, child's gone into foster care, up for adoption. Something needs to change. Absolutely fucking disgraceful that these strung-out junkies fucking raising children. They can't even wipe their own fucking arse.
Heather, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Heather?
Hiya, how are you?
Good, thanks, Heather. Well, you heard that message a moment ago from Emma, who believes that all drug addicts should be prevented from having children. What's your view on this?
Yeah, look, I'm a bit disgusted by what I just heard, if I'm being honest. I get it. I do get it. And I get where she's, Emma, is coming from. Like, I really do. But being honest with you, like, I'm 2 years clean and sober in recovery. Like, and imagine someone making that choice just like I had my son and my addiction got worse. I was addicted before him. Now, I'm not going to say it was heroin because it wasn't. That wasn't my fault. But being honest, imagine someone had to force me not to have children. I wouldn't
There's no suggestion of forcing anybody not to have children, but giving an incentive not to have children by paying you as an addict to have your tubes tied so that you can't have children. Now, that's not forcing
something. Imagine I had have made that decision, right? An incentive. Imagine I had it. I probably would have never came into recovery if I didn't have my little boy to survive for. Do you get me? I probably would never. Like, I'm only after getting full custody of my son after fighting 2 years. Now, I'm not going to come on this show and lie about it. When my son got taken off me by his hustler, my addiction did get worse until I hit my rock bottom. And it was when I hit my rock bottom that I rebuilt my whole life. I got my forever home. I'm after walking out of Dolphin's house there nearly 2 months ago now with full custody back of my son. He's back with me. Do you know what I mean? I've seen addicts.
Okay, so what you're saying is having a child is what gave you the courage to get clean, basically.
When I realised, when I hit my rock bottom and it was me, I went to the suicidal and I did. And I the gift of desperation, I'm not going to lie to you. I was like, either take me from this world, because when you're an addict, we are selfish. Our pain is bigger than anyone's pain. But I'm going to be honest here, like, I didn't have the tools like ordinary people just get up and on with life and trauma and this and that. That was never taught to me. I operate differently because I'm an addict. I had to learn whole new life skills. But if I didn't have my little son to fight for when I hit my rock bottom, I wouldn't have never came into recovery. I probably would have took my own life.
Okay, so tell me then. Tell me, Heather, your story. Were you an active drug user when you became pregnant?
When I found out I was pregnant, that was the only time I stayed clean. When my son was born, I went back on drugs even harder.
Why? Because again, you just described how it's your child that has inspired you to get clean and get your shit together, basically.
Why didn't I use when I was pregnant?
No. Why, when your child was born, was that not enough of an inspiration to stop you going back on drugs?
Well, no, I was in an abusive relationship. I was being battered. I was trying to take care of a child and take care of a grown man at the same time. I thought that was all I deserved. And the only way I knew how to escape my reality and my life was using. Do you know? It was. Okay, but
listening to the way you describe your vulnerability at that time, it really scares me to think that a child was brought into the world in the midst of that absolute chaos.
And I know. And I know. And this is why I'm saying I do get people's points. My son was brought into that in the midst of that chaos, and that was never my plan. Like, I didn't plan, oh yeah, let's have a child and bring them into this madness. Like, I fell pregnant, and because of my own history, I thought I was doing the right thing by staying in that relationship. Like, that boils down to my own childhood stuff of not knowing who my father was. And do you know what, when I had to do a lot of work around the guilt and shame of me bringing a child into that. But I don't regret it now, because okay, I wouldn't
so,
be here.
Well, let me find out then. Why? So your child was born into this chaotic life. You ended up going back on drugs worse than ever. What happened to your child then?
So basically, when I went homeless, and obviously me and the baby's father were breaking up constantly and getting back together, like, that's the gist of it. When I went into the homeless hubs in town, I got offered an apartment out in Smithfield. I got back with the baby's dad. I was still using, obviously. I'm not going to lie about it. And then, obviously, one day he had came into that apartment and attacked me. It was utter chaos. My child got taken off me by Tussle. Luckily, I was blessed that Tussle allowed a family member of mine, take care of my child. Do you know, they did. So my child went to my auntie and uncle, who was rearing him. Now, I was still showing up on visits now. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, but
I was under the influence.
Can I ask you a question? Did you ever shoot? It was heroin you were obviously on. Was it heroin?
No, cocaine.
It was cocaine.
Weed, prescribed tablets off doctors.
Okay, the cocaine. Did you take cocaine in the presence of your baby while you were minding the baby, while you were looking after your baby?
No, when he was asleep, yeah, I did. I'm not going to lie, when he was a couple of months old, when he was asleep, yeah, I did.
But do you not understand, did you not understand that people would find that disgraceful and disgusting? That
I know people would, but I find that disgraceful and all, but that is my story, do you get me?
No,
it is my story.
And Heather,
as I said, when my child was taken off me and he was living with my aunties and uncle, it took me a year when he was gone. As I said, I was still showing up to my two visits a week that I was allowed to. I was leaving them going off using. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to lie about it.
Heather, just to go back to the point about the absolute chaos of a young child's formative years, no child should have to be brought into that world.
I know they shouldn't, and I know that, but what I'm saying is the fact of life is some are, like my son was, but today he doesn't have to bear witness to that. Today, thank God, he hasn't got many memories. Bernardo's, he was in play therapy a while because it wasn't just the drugs. And my son doesn't remember anything about drugs. It's more so the abusive relationship between me and his father. And look, as I said, I don't need people coming on slating me this and that. I don't walk around my guilt and shame. Today, we do not live that life. Today, he has a stable home. I don't have to go and
Heather, that is brilliant that... you have turned your life around. It really is. And fair play to you. And I understand what you just said, that you'd have never done it only for having that child to do it for, if you like.
And this is what I'm saying, though. There's people I have met in recovery who have come in their 40s and 50s. Now, I'm only going 40 this year. I was very lucky to get recovery when I did. I see people who are 40s and 50s and that who are only getting clean now and are mending these relationships with their children.
So again, Heather, do you think it is okay for an active drug user who's strung out to bring a child into the world?
I believe there should be more services to help these people.
That's not the question I asked you. Do you think it is okay for an active drug user, firstly, to fall pregnant, and then secondly, bring a child into the world?
No, I don't think it's okay, but I do think that, like, underneath all, I don't think these people plan their lives to turn out like that. Like, I don't agree with it, but
I agree with you. Nobody gets up in the morning and says, here, I'm off to be a heroin addict. That's not the way it works. However, when somebody is, and this is the point that Mario was making, he believes that people like his stepsister should not be able to fall pregnant, should not be able to bring a child into the world because they are active users, they are unfit parents, and they are incapable of providing care to a young child. You nearly agree with that, but you don't like the idea of offering a stimulus to get sterilised, for example.
Because I know there's a lot of people that's not going to take that incentive. Do you know what I mean? And let's be honest with you, when you're, as I said, drug addicts are very selfish. There is a lot of people who are in addiction and taking drugs, this and that, that just think of the money. Oh, more kids, more money. And I'm not going to lie about it. There is,
Isn't that the exact incentive? You offer a drug addict money to go and get sterilised so that they can't have a child.
But a lot of drug addicts aren't going to take that, though. Let's think about it. You offer these people money to go get their tubes tied, this and that. Like, even when you're a drug addict, you still think beyond, like, okay, I could take this bit of money, go get this done now, or I can have a child and get more money each month. You get me?
What scares me even more about what you just said a second ago, Heather, is that there are drug addicts that basically see having a child as a gravy train, as an opportunity to make more money.
I'm not speaking for all.
Even if you're only speaking about one, that is horrific to think that there are active drug users who see having a child as a way to get more money.
Yeah, well, come here, I was a drug addict. Like, I know where the head goes, but I can't even speak for these people. I can only speak for me. I agree with what you're saying to a certain extent, but do you know what I mean? It actually even kills me to be talking about it because, like, as I said...
No, but I admire your honesty. There's not many women that would come on the show and admit what you have just admitted, that you were an active cocaine...
I probably wouldn't if I was a couple of months clean. I would have been too terrified.
No, but your honesty...
Do you know what I mean?
Your honesty is really unbelievable. But I just, anytime I'm on, you see it on the Lewis regularly and you see it in the city centre, when you see a strung out mother and father pushing a buggy. And gee, I don't know how anybody can be a parent when they're strung out because...
I don't know. See, when I see these people, I'm very compassionate and empathetic towards them as well.
I'm compassionate towards the child and the buggy because they are an innocent party. I'm not compassionate towards the addict parents. But when I struggled being a parent to young babies and I wasn't on any drugs. I don't know how anybody can be you can't be a good parent when you're strung out on heroin. You couldn't.
No, as I say, like, heroin wasn't my choice of drug, like, and you know,
Thank God,
that's the mad thing. I see my uncle strung out on it and For years, I was like, I'm never going to be a drug addict, this and that. So I then thought, oh yeah, because I'm doing cocaine, I'm nothing like those people who take heroin, this and that. I was probably just as bad as them. The only thing was I wasn't taking heroin.
I don't know if you...
Do you know what I mean?
I don't know if you said this already. I may not have picked up. Were you taking cocaine while you were pregnant?
No, well, I'm not going to lie about this. At a Christmas party when I was working, I was obviously doing cocaine, this and that. About a week later, I was getting sick in this job. I had done a pregnancy test and I found out I was pregnant. I went straight to the hospital and I admitted that I was literally only at a Christmas party doing cocaine. I did not know
that's fair
there was a baby in my stomach, and all through my pregnancy, I prayed, and I wasn't big into religion, but I prayed that because I didn't know there was a baby in there, I prayed that my son would come out healthy born and not out, because he scared me, like. Do you know, I was crying through my pregnancy.
Stay there for 1 second. So your bottom line is you don't believe drug addicts would take the option of...
I can't speak for all.
No,
I know that, but
you don't believe a lot would.
But sorry, I was just looking up whether you're 7 or 8 when we're talking. I was looking up the stats in the States, because this has been happening in the States for years. Actually, the take-up is pretty big. It's over 60%. In certain cities where addicts were offered money to go get sterilised, there was a 60% uptake on it. That's pretty good.
Oh, well, I didn't look into the stats, but that is pretty good. Again, look, as I said, like, I can't speak for all I can say is...
And your worry is that had you taken up that option, you wouldn't
my son wouldn't have been here. Yeah, yeah. And I probably would have took my own life, because that's where rock bottom gave me. I had two options.
Stay there for a second, Heather, if you can, please, because I need to bring in more opinions on this. Our number is 085-825-2626. This is John.
I don't think we should be paying anything towards them. A lot of people in the comments saying, like, oh, they didn't choose to become junkies. But they didn't catch it. They went out with the intention the first time to stick a needle in their arm or whatever. They're a drain on society as it is. So I wouldn't be giving them anything.
It's the Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A podcast from Ireland with a difference.
You put some money in your pocket. You come on down to Fairy House. If you want a bargain, it's a place to be. There's plenty of parking. It's real easy, you'll see. La, 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 la.
Fairy House Sunday Market. Open every week.
Francis, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Francis?
How are you, Adrian? How are you, Jeremy?
Well, Francis, what's your opinion on this?
I think this should be a law brought in that heroin addicts, the women, should have their tubes tied.
What, by, forcibly?
Yes.
Well, you get dragged in off the street, brought to a hospital. No.
What I mean is, I work in Dunleary, as I told you before, and I've seen the drug addicts going up and down, the girl and the fella and the baby falling out of the pram. I'm not lying. And I had to pick the baby up many times. They didn't even notice the baby had fallen out of the pram. When they're that strung out, they don't even see anything. And all that baby is to them is money on the children's allowance and what they get to buy more drugs. The children are not even dressed properly. What I mean, it should be a law brought in that if you see a heroin addict or a drug addict having babies after babies, that they have to be sterilised by law. Because it's so unfair to that little poor baby that's been brought into the world and probably drugs inside the system. Have you ever heard a child coming off after being born?
And it's horrific. Yes. I've seen videos of it in the past. It's absolutely horrific. I agree.
I was in with my daughter when she had her baby, and there was a girl in another ward, and the screams of that baby were last at me for the day I died. They were most fun, and they were forced to Temple Street. I mean, they should not be allowed to have children while they're taking drugs.
Okay, but realistically, how do you go about this? Do you do what I just said, drag addicts in off the street and throw them onto an operating table and tie their tubes, or do you offer loads of money? What do you do?
I don't think they'd notice, Adrian, to be honest with you, if you dragged them in off the street and put them on an operating table.
But that is the sort of stuff Adolf Hitler did. You know, we're not going to go down the road of forcibly sterilizing people.
No, I don't agree with that.
So how do you encourage them? And I understand what you're saying, Francis. I think it's horrific to see active users trying to look after children. It's absolutely dreadful.
It all will be better looked after. And to be honest with you, I think they think that's what they're pushing around at all. You know, and they're sitting down. They used to sit down on the seats for pennies and be lighting up their cigarettes. I was going in. They used to care for the London there. And, you know, I might be doing a bit of shopping. And I'd watch them. And the pram, on a windy day, the pram would be blown away and someone would catch it and everything. And newborn babies, you know. They didn't care. They really and truly didn't care. So, our government is no good anyway, but if they were any good, they could go to these places that they're supposed to be helping heroin addicts. And I know it's an addiction, and I mean, they started it. They choose to take the drug, no one forced it into their mouth or whatever you do with it.
What about the point that Heather made a minute ago, that she would probably be dead now had she not had a child to live for, basically, to inspire her out of her addiction, to get help and to get clean, which is where she's at now. And she has a very happy life with her child. Had she not had that child, she wouldn't have that inspiration.
Well, she might be one of many, and we don't honestly know. That's what she's saying. You know, she still smokes cocaine while the child, or it's not cocaine, while the child is in bed. So she's not off drugs. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, is she contradicting herself that she gave up drugs completely and yet she still sits downstairs while the child's upstairs asleep, you know, using cocaine?
No, I agree that it's horrific to think of a child being brought into such a chaotic world, okay? There's no argument there. But the question is, how do we prevent it? And is it that we offer them 10 grand to get sterilised? Because you're never going to have a law that enables the authorities to drag drug addicts in off the street.
And what's the other countries doing? How are they doing?
Well, they're in many cities in the States, they are offering cash incentives to get sterilised.
By the way, it's done privately.
Some privately?
No, these are people that sell to private organisations.
Oh, no, I know that.
No, it's not a government thing.
But
they're not doing something like that here.
But that's what we're asking. And if so, how much? How much do you offer?
A thousand.
1,000 euros, nothing.
They would take 1,000. At that time, because they're desperate.
Okay,
and then you'd have it done, you know?
Stay there for a second. John, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, John?
How are you doing, Nigel? How are you doing, Jeremy?
John, drug addicts are desperate for money. Offer them €1,000 and they'll go get their tubes tied, and then we won't have any kids being brought into the world by drug addicts.
See, here's the idiocy of people like the likes of Mario Mahaganos, Adrian. I said there's to one of whatever researchers on your phone, sir, that I've been through all this with my family, you know, a member of my family. And, you know, they've come through out the other side and now they're running a business. They're employing people, you know. Like, the fact of the matter is, like, there is a way out. There is an end at the end of the tunnel. You've heard it there from Heather, you know. Like, are people so sad and so sick in their own heads that, oh, you know, we bribe people into you know, getting them sterilised and instead of helping them and getting more drug centres opened up to help these people, instead of just fucking, you know, going around the long way about it and, you know, just bribing them. Like, I can't understand it. I can't get my head around it.
Okay, let me ask you then, John. I don't know if you heard Heather's story. Absolute chaotic lifestyle. Strung out on drugs. Has a child and then goes back on the drugs even heavier than ever. And you think that's okay, do you?
No, I don't think it's okay, but she got her shit together.
It took her child.
It didn't matter. She still did it.
It took her child.
It took her family member of mine 5 years. It did. It did. It takes a long time. It took a family of my, a member of my family 5 years to get their shit together.
But again, I'm asking, but the question that I'm asking you, John, is do you think it is okay for a child to be brought into the world in that sort
I'm
of a
not
case?
Saying it, I'm not saying it's okay, Adrian. They never chose this. The children never chose this.
Of and course, that's my point.
Exactly. I'm not disagreeing with on this. But as well, nobody chose, woke up one morning and go, to be addicted to drugs either. You know, this is all one big fucking mess that we have here. And my solution has been, and always will be, on every episode of your show of, drug addicts and drug users, is to get more help for these people and get more drug centres
okay,
open.
John, that's all fine. But again, I want to come back to the fact that children are being brought into the world by people who are completely incapable of giving them care.
We all know that.
So how do we stop that? How do we stop that?
We open up more drug centres, more health centres.
How's that going to stop them getting pregnant?
We can get them off drugs, and then what can they do? You know, they're going to do what anyway.
John, your head is in the sand. You know, there's people who...
It's not in the sand, Jeremy. I've been here. Okay. I've got the fucking T-shirt on this. Fact of the matter is,
Does people who've been on the methadone program for 50... Oh, we've spoken to people before who've been on the methadone program for 50 and 20 years. That's a long time to be...
That's their choices. You know, they shouldn't be, but that go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, so... The point is, it's wrong, it's morally wrong to bring a child into the world when you're addicted to a drug. Do you not agree?
No, I do agree, but the fact of the matter is, it's just help. If these people want really to...
And John, can I just say to you, you can't force an addict to get help either. You can have all of the help.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You just said it there, how much is it going to cost? Well, I tell you as well, guys, how much is it going to cost? Why not just open a few... You know, where is the one drug treatment centre in Ireland here at the moment? There's a couple of them, sorry. But where's there, you know, we can open a few of these centres here in Dublin, you know, and the fact of the matter is we can get a hold on this. As well, what that lady said there, you know, I can't remember her name there just a few minutes ago. You know, this is what we need to do. Okay,
Can I ask you then, do you think it is outrageous to even suggest offering money to a drug addict to get sterilized?
I think it is. Of course it is. It's the most fucking ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
No, it is something that happens in lots of places.
Bribing people.
Francis. It's disgraceful to be bribing people.
It's not disgraceful, John. I mean, I know you say you have family and all, but if you look at the children and you go in around Dublin City or Dunedin...
I've seen it, Francis.
I know,
I understand that, Francis. But what I said as well is, Francis, that nobody woke up this morning and wanted to be a drug addict. But my point is, Francis, you asked, what way do we do this? I tell you what we do, Francis. We open up more drug treatment centres and get people clean as soon as possible. Instead of, do you know what we're doing here? We're going around in a big fucking circle. We're talking about this day in, day out, year in, year out. When people do actually want to get clean and people want to go on and live normal.
There's loads of drug addicts don't want help.
Oh, you understand that? Francis. Oh, you understand that? But there's a lot of people that don't want that life. They do want a good life for themselves.
It's a horrible life for even them, and then to bring an innocent little baby into the world.
Yeah, I know that, Francis. We heard you already. But what I'm saying is, to prevent all this, you asked me, you asked the listeners a question there a few minutes ago. I'm telling you the answer to this. More drug treatment centres. Let's sort this problem out head on. That's how you sort out a drug problem.
I don't want to sound like a broken record, but you can have as many treatment centres as you like.
No, you can't, because there's all of them. I'm sick of talking about this.
Hang on, John.
There's no drug treatment centre. And even if you want to get on a drug treatment centre programme, it's fucking months to get on one. They're probably dead waiting on the fucking waiting list for to get on a drug treatment programme. That's the problem here in Ireland.
Okay, do me a favour, John, and stay with me for a moment because I have more calls to bring in a second. Sorry.
Can I just say, John's giving out about how long it takes someone to get a drug treatment programme. Yeah. Boo-hoo, John. Boo-hoo.
Get a fucking life, Jeremy. Get a life, you shithead. Seriously.
No, boo-hoo,
get
John.
A life. There's decent people out there that want a clean and sober life, and there's no fucking room for them in this country.
There are parents who are one way.
Where are they? Where's the centre there, Jeremy?
Listen to me, there are parents waiting.
I've done this, I said to you already. I've more education in me than I have you will ever will. I've seen this. It took six fucking months to get my fucking family member into one.
And it takes some parents years and years to get the children assessed for autism and other behavioural difficulties.
Well, you're asking me a fucking question. How do we sort this out? My point is, I'm telling you.
My point is, you're moaning about the length of time that
it takes. I'm not moaning, I'm telling you the truth. You asked me a question and I told you how to do this and nobody's fucking listening.
So you're in and you're out, the same fucking problem. You have the answer that no one else has been able to come up with.
We need more drug treatment centres. Yes, we do. That's the answer, John, stay with me for a moment.
Let me bring in Kirsty.
My personal experience is I have three kids, one with me, partner home with a few years, and he already had a child with someone else and they were... They became a junkie over the years. He fought for years to get her special needs. She was left to rot and be neglected. And I won't even go into detail about what happened to the child and what she was left to witness. But he finally got her full custody and all that goes with it. But she came to live with us 10 months ago after we had our own baby. And this junkie out now, hasn't seen her own child in 10 months, hasn't seen her, hasn't texted, hasn't done anything. And we found out through social media a few weeks ago, this junkie is now pregnant again. I think it's disgusting. I think any junkie, whether, I'm sorry, like I'm not saying like, you know, like they're all bad people, this, that and the other, you know, like people have their own problems in their own lives. But I don't think junkies should be allowed to have kids because not only... when the child is born, it'll either be addicted or left to rot, neglected, and Chartosa does nothing about it. They just watch it and say, oh, we're understaffed. I don't think they should be allowed to have them because they're not developing properly. They're just being abused from the second that they're conceived. Like, so I think it's just a disgrace. And a lot of people will say, oh, it's not their fault, they're on drugs, they didn't choose it in this life, this, that, and the other. Well, my personal opinion is any junkie shouldn't be allowed to conceive. They shouldn't be allowed to have children and bring children into the world to struggle, be neglected, be abused, be left to take God knows what and just be dragged up. I think it's disgusting and that's just my
opinions matter with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon, a daily podcast from Ireland about opinions.
You put some money in your pocket, you come on down to Fairy House. If you want a bargain, it's a place to be.
Fairy House Sunday Market, open every week.
Denise, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Denise?
Hey, Adrian, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. What did you want to say on this, Denise?
I have a good friend that only had a baby a couple of days ago. She's currently in active addiction for and a partner. I haven't seen the baby yet because I'm away, but she's been sending me videos and that the videos of the baby. If any of your listeners seeing the videos of what that baby has gone through, it's absolutely horrific. She didn't know she was pregnant until she was 6 months because of obviously the heroin, the tablets, the methadone, anything that she could get her hands on, basically. Tussler got involved and she was made to go into treatment 6 weeks ago to give that child a better chance for when she was born, so her withdrawals wouldn't be as bad. But unfortunately, like, 6 weeks just wasn't good enough. So this baby
has been brought into the world strung out on drugs.
Yeah, strung out. Like, the withdrawal she's gone through, our little body is fighting so hard. It's just awful, sickening. I don't like, and totally don't want my friend to keep the baby because obviously she's nowhere to go. She doesn't have a proper home. Like, if you're in an active addiction, you and your partner, what time, what hope does the child have?
None.
How are you going to look after raising a child?
Zero.
A kid, anyway, like, yeah, as it is, it's hard work. Like, could you imagine her overhead, that child in its roses basket, in its car, sobbing, crying, wet nappy, dirty nappy, and she's too stoned overhead to even function?
But according to John, it's the government's fault. It's all, everything's the government's fault.
How is it a government's fault? Isn't it? Come here. I'd say if she had been offered...
The government should open up more true treatment centres to help people like this. I never said it was okay that the kids are sitting
there. No, I understand.
And,
no, I definitely do believe that more treatment centres should be open. And because, I mean, you have to be down to certain... you have to be down... Like, just say for methadone, for example. Just say she was on 50 mils. You have to be down to 20 mils before they'll even consider taking it in. So how are you supposed to get clean or off stuff for so long for the chance to get onto these treatment centres?
To Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon, because the fact of the matter is, like, I'm always a one-man band when it comes to shows like this, because nobody is ever going to come back and back me up that, oh, well, how do we do this? How do we do that? I listen to everybody fairly, and I'm saying to myself, I've been there to know that this needs to be done. Nobody wants to hear this. Oh, well, it's the government there that has to spend the money. Oh, well,
John, listen to the story that Denise just told about a child being born into the care, firstly addicted to drugs itself, but born into the care of parents who are both drug addicts.
I'm not agreeing with you on the opening of the show that it should never happen. I agree with you on this.
Let me ask you a question, Denise.
Prevention is better than cure, and let's get the drug treatment centres open to help these people.
Okay, Denise, let me go back to you for a second.
Yeah.
What would you like to see being done in order to prevent somebody like your friend having a baby that she can't care for, that our partner can't care for? How do we stop this drug-addicted child being brought into the world?
Do you know what? I wouldn't even know the answer to that, but there should be more treatment centres. For example, if she's gone for help and she's whatever medication she's on now, take them in now. Don't wait until you have to get down to certain amount of medication, certain milligrams. Take them now. This hospital was on to me. I had a meeting with them because she doesn't have anybody. So they rang me and actually asked me and my partner, could we take the baby for 6+ weeks until she went into treatment? Because she'd had no, they were lacking in foster care.
But don't give up on her as well. You're a friend, you know.
I'm not giving up on her. I can't make her get clean.
I know. Help her.
Absolutely. But now she's in there now and she's on, I think, just say 90 mils of methadone. Now, they said she can't go into full treatment now to get clean completely since she's on 50 mils. Why can't she go straight in from hospital to do this?
That's it. And lower the mills down again when they're in there. Yeah, I hear you. I'm with you. I blame her
because she had the chance
But the fact of the matter is, Adrian and Jeremy does think, well, it's the government's, I didn't say, but the government has got a part to play in this, and everybody has their part to play in this. If they want to see their loved ones still alive in the next 6 months or 6 years, you know, it is drug treatment centres that we need, you know, and it is unfortunate.
When you're an active addict, no matter what you say, you can't make them get clean. They're going to rob you. They're going to fight with you. Like me taking that child now, I'm afraid now that I'm going to have to listen to her now when she gets out, whether she's going to get clean or not.
You're very fearful for this child and this child's future.
Absolutely. What hope has she got? I don't mean that in a bad way, but what hope has she got?
I wouldn't take that in a bad way.
She goes into foster care, then what?
Yeah, no, it's
foster care, I will take them, and then they still have to deal with the parents because they have to obviously have contact, and then they love this child, and but then they have a heroin addict fucking tormenting them as well. You should just take the kids off them and then no contact whatsoever and let them have a bit of hope and a proper life and a proper go at it. I mean, they're struggling already because they're born with addiction. She should have went through them withdrawals, not a baby. And I said, you should have went through that pain, no.
And what did she say? How did she respond to that?
I know. That's it. It's okay.
It's dreadful.
You just don't care.
It really is. It's absolutely horrible to hear.
You just don't care. It's an addiction. And unfortunately, like, she was on street tablets. She's off them now. Now she's on methadone. And our own medication, but don't touch her eyeballs looking after the baby. I'm not on anything and I never have been, but like I still support as best I can, but sometimes I have to step back because they drain you. They drain you, like, so can you imagine what it's like for being a child brought around that? They're draining, and it's pitting me. Like, always pitting me. Do you know what I mean? They're always the ones with the sad story. But sure, I've just had as much crap as you. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, I'm obviously stronger, but like, stop pitying yourself and get out your hole and do it for your kids. Fight for them. Do you know what I mean? Just fight for them and give them the best. Stop thinking about yourself.
I know there is an issue with foster care, the amount of foster care is available, but you obviously believe that this child should be taken into care, do you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Like, it's no... Until she has proof of 1 year clean, yeah, absolutely, clean urine for 1 year, then I definitely... What, like, come on. Like going home to an adult, like a drunk.
No, it's dreadful.
How someone drunk going to fucking look after a child?
I have to say, listening to the story, it's so sad to hear. It's, I tell you what's really sad to hear, that this still goes on in 2025 Ireland. Yeah. It really is. It's horrific.
No, for a fact, if they're offered money, 100%, an addict with not a washing in the pocket, they would go and they would get that done if money was offered. 100% they would.
And do you think that should 100%. Be... Do you think that's something we should consider?
Yeah, why not?
All right,
why not?
Denise, I appreciate you sharing that story with us. Thanks very much indeed.
No worries. Not really glad.
That story's going to stay with me now for the rest of the day. Thanks very much indeed. Let me squeeze in one final call, and that's you, Ed. You're on Opinions Matter. How are you?
How's it going, lads? Yeah.
Good, thanks, Ed. What did you want to say on this?
Well, I wouldn't allow for whatever amount of money to be basically touched down there. Like, if I was to be addicted to drugs, like, no matter what, you're not going to drag me and...
No, nobody's talking about dragging anybody anywhere, but what we just heard from Denise, she believes, from what she has seen, that drug addicts offered money to get sterilized would take the money, would bite your hand off nearly to get the money, and that means that is one person that won't be having a child.
Yeah, well, if I didn't want to be sterilized, no matter what... Like, say, like, you know, each their own, everyone is different, like...
No, I'm aware of that. And nobody's talking about forcing anybody to get sterilised, but some... And in fact, one of the programmes that operates in America has a 60% success rate. In other words, 60% of people who are offered money to be sterilised... And by the way, that procedure has to be paid for as well... by the people offering the money, it has a 60% take-up rate.
Okay, well, I don't know. Still, I don't fully agree with being sterilized.
Okay, but you're not talking about somebody doing it unwillingly. You're talking about somebody being offered money and taking the money and getting sterilized. Surely that's a good thing to stop a moment ago from Denise, that child being brought into the world by two drug addict parents.
But say if someone does take the money, but they actually still want to have like their sex life and have their child.
They can have as much of a sex life as they want if they're sterilized.
Ed, I don't know. Ed, did you have your fingers in your ears when Denise was telling that story? The amount of messages we're after getting, I can't get that out of my mind.
No, neither can I.
Sorry, I don't mean this in a bad way when I say I hate when I hear stories like this, but I do. That I can't get out of my head.
No, I heard that.
So the point is, Ed, we need to offer some sort of incentive to stop that drug addict bringing that child into the world.
Yeah, well, John was bang on right. We need more centres.
Ah, centres me arse. Seriously, at this very moment, this is real life. This is not a made-up story. This is real life. Right at this moment in time, there is a baby... not a million miles away from us, from what I know, from where that baby is at the moment. There is a baby that is going through cold turkey at the moment.
It's horrific.
Literally down the road from where you live, from where I live. And
no disrespect to John or to you, all the treatment centres in the world won't help that child, God love it, because it's already been brought into the world as a strung out drug addict.
And I just don't know how anybody could listen to that story that we just heard. I'm so emotional about that.
No, it is. It's horrific. It's just, it really is.
No baby deserves that.
So, Ed, I don't see what the issue is with offering an incentive to a drug addict to become sterilised.
Well... I don't know. Like, I still wouldn't agree whatsoever.
Okay, well then you weren't listening to that story that we just heard, because I have a lump in my throat.
No, so do I. It's really bad.
Because no child, no baby deserves that start in life.
Nope.
They really don't.
Heather, who we spoke to at the start of this podcast, has been back onto us with this voice note.
I know the podcast is over, guys, but just one more thing. I am disgusted about the story about the baby going through withdrawals. And I done a little research into if you get your tubes tied, you can get them untied. I know people are saying addiction centres and this and that, but like with me, the way it is now that I'm 2 years clean and sober, I've sort of like been looking into how do I go do a podcast on this or this and that, and just try and promote recovery a bit more, because I know these centres and all are there, but I didn't know about treatment centres or this and that. It was never suggested by my doctor or anything. Do you know what I mean? I don't agree with there being a baby right now going through withdrawals. I don't. So I just wanted to say that.
Pauline, finally on this.
Well, it's just a quick voice note. I actually can't believe what I'm fucking listening to. A while ago, there was a podcast about a homeless guy and should you buy them food or give them money. And he were totally against giving them money because he'd only go and spend it on drink or drugs or whatever. Now you're talking about giving a junkie €1,000 to go and get themselves sterilised. Are you fucking serious? Like, it's just, there's a blow in my mind.
I know, Pauline, you did send that message before Denise's story came in. And I don't know if you have changed your mind since hearing that story. I don't know how anybody could listen to Denise's story. That is a baby that is right at this very moment probably crying his little eyes out, looking for a fix of drugs. If you don't find that abhorrent, if you don't find that disgusting, if you don't think that we need to change the situation, then you weren't listening to that story very carefully.
Thank you for listening to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy. Please hit subscribe or follow, click on the bell icon on Spotify, and you'll be notified every time we upload a new episode. We'll catch you on the next one.